Welcome to Transforming Minds, Transforming Lives, a podcast series of RCCG Living Spring Pittsburgh. Stay tuned for our senior pastor, Boyega Esson.
Proverbs on financial prosperity. We'll be wrapping it up today. The book of Proverbs was written so that you and I would do life. Wisdom is simply skillfulness in godly living. And I keep saying this, the more I say it, the more I realize it is true, that intelligence is different from wisdom. You can be intelligent and not be wise. Being wise is making sound judgment, is making good decisions regularly. The fact that you're intelligent doesn't automatically equal to being wise. And what Proverbs is all set to do is to help us to become wiser, is to increase our wisdom bank. Yes, we are to pray for wisdom, but the Bible also says that the word of God can convert the soul. He said the word of God can make the foolish become wise, Psalm 19. So the Bible is there to make us become wise, and wisdom is being skillful in godly living. You know, this life is full of complications, full of so many things, and you need to do life. You need to know how to navigate life, and that's what Proverbs is all about, because Solomon, God gave him wisdom, and by his wisdom, he was able to pen the book of Proverbs, Songs of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, and so on and so forth. We spoke about how to handle debt. We spoke about investment. We spoke about many, many things. But we are going to be wrapping up this morning. And of course, our anchor scripture is Proverbs chapter 4, Proverbs 4, verse 7 to 8. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. Wisdom is developing good judgment. If you prize wisdom, she will make you great. If you embrace wisdom, she will honor you. Back in the day, you have illiterates, women that never went to school. But you see them building big businesses. You see them using raw wisdom to achieve things in life. Because somehow, as I'm saying again, intelligence doesn't always mean you are wise. You can be smart and yet make poor decisions. But God will help us in Jesus' mighty name. So it's the wisest thing you can do to develop good judgment. If you prize wisdom, she will make you great. The first thing we are looking at this morning is wise planning. And the Bible also says in Proverbs 24, verse 3 to 4, Proverbs 24, verse 3 to 4, that through wisdom a house is built. It says, by understanding it is established. Said, through knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Wisdom is to apply the truth you know. Understanding is to learn to arrange the truth you know. And knowledge is acquiring truths. There's a way life works. Understanding will teach you how life works. There's a way prayer works. There's a way God works. There's a way demon spirits work. There's a way the word system works. There's a particular protocol to how God answers prayers. There's a way temptation works. So understanding is you knowing what triggers you. In other words, you know, if I continue this process, I'll be tempted, I will fall. So it's just having an understanding of basic things. And if you are not observant, these things may slip off your hands. You see, part of wisdom is being observant. I mean, the man here, Solomon, was one guy who was very observant. He observed things, observed birds, observed vegetation. He observed animals. When you are aware of your society, of your circumstances, you become wiser. Experience is not always the best teacher. Amen. You can learn from other people's mistakes, other people's failings. If you're observant, people who are wise are observant. My job as a shepherd is to be observant, is to be able to somehow decipher happenings in people's lives. I don't poke my nose unnecessarily. Every day I'm praying for God to give me more wisdom, for God to give me insights. But the reality is that just being observant, you can be wise. Observation actually can make you wiser. So the Bible says in Proverbs 24, the same passage in the New Living Version, that any enterprise is built by wise planning. Any is built by wise planning. So become strong through common sense, and the profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. Every enterprise is built by wise planning, become strong through common sense, profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. Wise planning, common sense, keeping abreast of the facts. Wise planning, common sense, keeping abreast of the facts. Wise planning, common sense, keeping abreast of the facts. You make those three things, build anything you want to build. You can, with those three things, build a family, build a business, build a career, build an enterprise, if you know how to plan wisely. Because if you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. Those who don't plan, they don't amount to anything in life. Planning is very critical. And of course, what you call budget is a financial plan. You have architectural plans, you want to build a house, you have a model, you put it down on paper, the architects draw a plan, and of course the builders follow the plan. You also have what you call financial plan, that's the budget. You can project. And of course, budget also helps you to allocate resources. If you know how to allocate resources, somehow you will do well financially. You will not have your checks bouncing back where you know how to allocate resources. How much do I spend on this? I can lower this a little bit. Just a plan, just a financial plan, just a budget. It goes a long way to help you do life. As a matter of fact, the richest people, they are the ones that are very particular about their bank charges. These are people that have millions, tons of millions, but they are very particular about their bank charges. They know what's going on in their finances. They know what is going on in their bank accounts. So it's just being sensitive financially. Wise planning, common sense, keeping abreast of the facts. When you are informed, somebody said, when you are current, you will collect. People who are current, they always take advantage of opportunities. The man of God told us that poor means people overlooking opportunities regularly. Acronym for poor, people overlooking opportunities regularly. So how does somebody become poor? Well, you don't take advantage of opportunities. It keeps on slipping by your hands because somehow you are not ready for it. You are not organized. You are not aware. You are not observant. So even when opportunity comes, you can't even smell it. Opportunity came to David in the form of Goliath. He smelt it and he was negotiating. What would be the gain if I take down this guy? You know, that was the first thing, that was the first question he asked. He was interested in the gain, the benefit. And they told him, if you take down this guy, you will not pay taxes anymore. If you take down this guy, you will marry the king's daughter. And he was encouraged. But he was able to smell opportunity when he came because he was prepared, he was ready for it. So poor people always overlook opportunities. Make hay while the sun shines. Life is passing by. If you always overlook opportunity, oh, another one will come, another one will come. Another one may come, but it may take a long period for that one to come. If you grab opportunity regularly, business opportunities, career opportunities, you will succeed. That's how people succeed. Stop overlooking opportunities. Christians have this thing of just being laid back. And we should always borrow a cue from the Israelites. These are the Old Testament folks, but they are also very successful. A lot of them are Nobel Prize winners. Israel is a small country. As a matter of fact, Israel or the Middle East is supplying water to a lot of them. I mean, small country, despite that, highly industrialized, highly technological country. Somehow, yes, they declared Numbers chapter 6 on themselves regularly, but they also work very hard because we are the ones that have access to the mind of God. We are the ones that are supposed to have access to the wisdom of God. So it's not just about just praying alone. We also have to add work, good work, even to our prayers. And the Bible also says in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 10, if the axe is dull, you don't sharpen your head, you would need more strength. Amen? It says, but success is profitable in all things. In the Message translation, it says, remember, the duller the axe, the harder you work. Use your head. The more brains, the less muscle. Say, use your head. The more brains, the less muscle. That you are spiritual doesn't mean that you shouldn't be a researcher. That you are spiritual doesn't mean you shouldn't seek information and be intelligent about life. Yes, spirituality and of course being intelligent about life makes you very successful. Say, use your head. The more brains, the less muscle. Brain is always better than brawn. Amen? Believe me, that's the truth. In Proverbs 24:27, it says there, say, do your planning, prepare your fields before building your house. In Proverbs 21 verse 5, it says, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Brethren, there is need to plan. Jesus said in Luke chapter 14 verse 28 that anyone who is trying to build a tower, he said, first of all, sit back, count the cost, and know whether you have enough resources to build the tower. Say, have you seen a general going to war and does he first sit down and look at his troops, whether he has enough troops to counter and to deal with the opposition? So planning matters. We shouldn't be foolish. Faith is not foolishness. Walking by faith is not foolishness. Yes, if God tells you clearly, like Abraham, get out of your kindred, go to a land that will show you, great, pronto. But if God doesn't tell you, point blank, use your common sense, use your head. Amen. If you don't have enough resources to build a tower, don't start the project. Because if you do and you get stuck, people will mock you. And that's not God's plan. Yes, over time God may come through, but you would have paid a very serious price. So the Bible says we have to learn to plan. We have to be futuristic. We have to think of the future. We have to try to solve tomorrow's problems today. That's planning. You have to try to learn to solve tomorrow's problems on paper. That's planning. You have to learn to go into the future and anticipate the future. People who live in the future, they are never caught by surprises because somehow they are futuristic. And this also brings me to a very interesting topic. And believe me, that thing is so biblical. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 4 to 5. Jeremiah 29, 4 to 5. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon, say, build houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, eat their fruit. If you look at verse 7, he told them to even pray for the peace of Babylon that they were carried captive to. And they were there, you know, working. And God said, in this Babylon, build, start building houses, begin to acquire properties, begin to do stuff. Because, believe me sincerely, it's not good sense. If I live in the U.S., I'm giving back to my children here, they are growing up here, and I'm pumping money, investing heavily in properties or whatever thing in Africa. It doesn't make good sense. These are common things that you think people should be able to know. But common sense is not always common. But the Bible says, look, that place that you dwell in, that's the place you can actually monitor your assets. Invest where you can monitor your investments. Amen. The world, we thank God, is a global village now, but borrow yourself some sense. Another thing is that value creation. The Proverbs talks about creating value. Proverbs 12 and 27 says, the lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession. In the NLT version, it says, lazy people don't even cook the game they catch, but the diligent make use of everything they find. Another one said, there's much food in the uncultivated land of the poor. There's much food. That's Proverbs. In other words, the poor man doesn't roast what he caught in hunting. He will go hunt, but he doesn't roast. He doesn't add value to what he has. You know, it's amazing that the richest continent is the poorest. Because as I usually say, nothing attracts value in its raw state. Amen. Nothing attracts value in its raw state. If you are raw, the best you can do is to attract it to no value. So the richest continent with the richest raw materials, because they are not adding value to the raw material, is still the poor continent in the world. And it's so true about life. If you are not refining what you have, if you are not excellent in what you are doing, if you are not upgrading yourself regularly, if you are not updating yourself regularly, if you are not bringing anything to the table, you are attracting to no value. And they tell us in economics class that money is a measure of value. Money measures value. So if you want to earn more, then bring more value. If you want to earn more, bring more value. That is what money does. Money is not the paper currency. Money is just a measure of value. So if you are bringing so much value, then you earn more. So how do I earn more? Then increase your value in the marketplace. It's as simple as that. Skills. So you see, the jobs we overlook at times, in this country, there's so much dignity in labor. If you are sweeping, there's dignity in it. Whatever you are answering in, and you can deliver value, you get paid for. This is a very interesting country. You can all have all the degrees and be jobless. So it's not so much about the title or the degree. It's about value. Value. What are you bringing to table? A good example is Jacob. The father said to Esau, go get me some nice food and let me pray for you before I die. And the mom is drawn on that conversation. The mom said, go to the backyard and get some goats. So in other words, Esau ran out to the bush. And mind you, at the backyard is goats. Somehow, Jacob has been rearing goats, doing animal husbandry, behind the house. He never knew. Abraham was digging wells to irrigate his farm. It was the same wells that they were shutting down, and they closed it up after he died, and Isaac had to contest for it. What I'm driving at is that somehow there's value. There's much food in the tillage of the poor. There's much food in the uncultivated ground of the poor. Those things you are overlooking, those giftings, those talents, they can deliver value in this country. It's just a matter of just being introspective, refine yourself, add some value, think through, prayerfully think through. You'll be amazed. What you think is not money can begin to fetch you good money. It's just the truth of the matter. God will help us. Another thing Proverbs talked about was generational wealth. Generational wealth. And the Bible says in Proverbs 13:22, that the good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. The good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. A good man leaves an inheritance. And when we say inheritance here, it's not just financial inheritance alone. It's also spiritual inheritance. Amen. Because there's no point leaving billions for children and they end up becoming drug addicts. So part of it is leaving a spiritual inheritance. In Proverbs 27:23-24, that's another very critical one. It said, be diligent to know the state of your flocks. Attend to your herds. For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. Let me take that again. Be diligent to know the state of your flocks. Attend to your herds. For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. The fact that this generation is rich doesn't mean two generations after will also be rich. Amen. That's what he's saying there partly. Say, pay attention to your herds. Pay attention to your children. Part of generational wealth is good values. Part of generational wealth is spiritual heritage. Amen. It's character. Amen. It's character. It's sound education. It's moral education. That's part of spiritual heritage. Say, pay attention to your children. Those of us who are still raising children, pay attention to them. This is the time to mold them. By the time they become teenagers, they are already gone. You can't do anything. This is the time to mold them, train them in the way of the Lord, and bring out value out of them. Observe your children, you know. Help them to become the best they can be in whatever thing they are doing. Encourage them. Be diligent to know the state of your flock, because those children are given to you, and just like everything God has given to us, you give account of it. You will give account of your parenting. You give account of those children that God has put in your hands. So generational wealth is not just financial alone. It's also raising up children that will take over from us. That's just the truth. The fact that one generation is rich doesn't mean two generations thereafter will be rich. So a good man is an inheritance. It's my prayer our children will do well. In this land, they will do well. In the mighty name of Jesus, it's my prayer we will never sorrow over our children. In years to come, when we see the achievement, you'll be glad. You will be glad that you give glory to God in Jesus' mighty name. Our children will do well. They will make us proud in the mighty name of Jesus. And all our labors over them will not be in vain. Our labors over our children will not be in vain in Jesus' mighty name. But train up a child in the way it should go. When he grows up, he will not depart from it. You know, sound education, moral values. Be diligent in parenting. Know the state of your flocks. Be your children's friend. Be their friend. Be their friend as much as possible. God will help us in Jesus' mighty name. Another truth that Proverbs talks about is surety. It's been a surety for people. This is very funny because I just kept on seeing verses of surety in Proverbs. Proverbs 22:26-27, I'll read a few of them. Proverbs 22:26-27 said, don't agree to guarantee another person's debt or put up security for someone else. If you can't pay it, even your bed will be snatched from under you. Amen. Said, don't agree to guarantee another person's debt or put up security for someone else. If you can't pay it, even your bed will be snatched from you. The second one, Proverbs 7:18, says, poor judgment to guarantee another person's debt or put up security for a friend. One verse just says, you lack common sense if you guarantee another person's debt. In Proverbs 11:15, it says, he who is surety for a stranger will suffer, but one who hates being surety is secure. Proverbs 6:1-5 also spoke, in fact, the five verses spoke about being surety. I'm not saying you shouldn't be a surety for anybody, but for God's sake, if you are able to pay, in other words, whatever you are assuring, by all means, you know. I'm not saying you shouldn't help people. This is the Bible. I'm just reading the Bible to you. Borrow yourself some sense. Maybe we should read it again. It's poor judgment to guarantee another person's debt or put up security for a friend. It's not me. He said, he who is surety for a stranger will suffer, but one who hates being surety is secure. Saying no is a virtue. And in life, you will say many more no's than yes. Those who are successful in life, those who are great, they say many more no's than yes. Saying no is also a decision. So Proverbs is telling you, if you want to do life, if you don't want to be stressed, and the reality is that, look, God can meet anybody's needs. You know, there was a lady who was in this church. She was in a fix. Two times they told her to leave a program because she couldn't pay. So we had given up on her. So one guest minister came. I was just saying, look, don't give up, don't give up, don't give up. I couldn't co-sign. It was so much money. You know, the parents back in Africa said, they can't just raise this money. She was on her way out. But at the last minute, I don't know what happened. The same parents who said they are poor, somehow the money surfaced. I don't know how it happened. I don't know. After several weeks going to months, the money surfaced. So when you are pushed to the wall, God is always there. Man's extremity is God's opportunity. But I will not stake my neck. I'm not God. I'm not El Shaddai. If I want to be El Shaddai, I will die. Amen? So I can't bear everybody's burdens. It's not possible. I'm just telling you what the Bible said about being surety, being guarantor. Amen? If you guarantee a bank loan, whatever you are guaranteeing, just be ready. Just be sure that you can handle it. If you can't handle it, borrow yourself some sense. Saying no is part of life. And the fact that man says no to you, if God says he will still make a way, he will certainly make a way. So these are just simple truths. You think they are common sense, but common sense is not common. Intelligence is not equal to wisdom. Get that? It's not at all. It's not. We have seen intelligent people who will not decide for Jesus Christ. They will dismiss it. It doesn't matter. These are just all fables, somebody's imagination. And can it just be one way to God? No, that can't happen. Blah, blah, blah. And the guy is very intelligent. But the simple plan of salvation, receive Jesus Christ and leave, is this is nonsense. And the Bible says that anybody who says there is no God is a fool. Psalm 53 verse 1. So intelligence is not always equal to wisdom. We should get that straight. And wisdom supersedes all. Wisdom is more than strength. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. By wisdom, one poor man delivered a whole city. He couldn't use his wisdom to enrich himself, but he was able to use his wisdom to deliver a whole city. He was called a poor wise man. You will not be a poor wise man in Jesus' mighty name. So wisdom can deliver a city. It's better than weapons of war, better than strength. It's profitable to direct. So it's my prayer God will help us in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you for listening, and make sure you subscribe for more great podcasts.